For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. And Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, Paul said. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Isn't that good to know? Not only did the Lord stand with him, but he said he strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul was primarily the apostle to the Gentiles, though he had very Jewish roots and loved the Jewish people. He said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, verse 18, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he gives some final greetings to people that meant much to him before he lays his head on a chopping block and goes to heaven from a Mamertine prison. He says, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. And he says, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus, sick. And notice what he said in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, grace be with you. Amen. These were the last words of the Apostle Paul written in Scripture. But I want to point your attention to verse 21 where he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us on this Thanksgiving Sunday. Lord, so good to be in church and praising you with all the brethren. And we're thankful, Lord, for your many blessings, and we're grateful for your love and mercy, and thankful for the truth of the gospel, and we're glad for where you brought us from, and roll back, Lord, we pray, the curtain of memory now and then. Show us where you brought us from, where we could have been. And Lord, I pray that we'd get more excited than ever about your blessings and about revival and about heaven and about the things of God. Help us, Lord, as we think here in this Sunday late in November now, as we look toward winter, I pray, God, that we look around the landscape of our country and, Lord, press upon us the urgency of the hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Time for Paul is running short in this epistle that he writes, his second epistle to young Timothy here. Timothy was his own son in the faith. Time's running out for Paul. In fact, the clock is ticking for all of us, is it not? But time was running out for Paul on this earth, and he senses, I think, that he has but a short time. And he writes really a touching letter to a young man named Timothy. He loved Timothy very much. He loved him deeply. He called him his dearly beloved son back in chapter 1 and verse 2. He says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. He loved him deeply, loved him greatly. And he's writing from a prison cell and he's awaiting execution. He's given under inspiration Timothy some sound advice as an older pastor to a young preacher coming up. We come to chapter 4 and he gives him the most important calling of a preacher. In chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, he says, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, the time will come when, he said, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so he says, Timothy, he says, make sure you preach the word. Preach the word, Timothy. It's important to preach the word. We come down to verses 16 through 22, and as I've noticed, verse 21 and highlighted that, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Paul's in a prison cell. I think maybe there might have been two imprisonments for Paul, and this was a tougher one here. Winter is coming. And as we think of winter here, we think winter's coming. I mean, yesterday was a beautiful day, and you know, you walk around, you enjoy the days that we have and the weather that we have and all of this. I think it's just in us. You know, we got to get the wood in. Winter's coming. You know, we got to get meat in the freezer. Winter's coming. We've got to get the house painted or get this window fixed or get this yard work done. Winter's coming. Winter's coming. I mean, you think about winter and all of that. As we think of winter, I think the older we get, it doesn't hold the special meaning it once did. I know we have some children here that I think the Bridges children are looking forward to winter, and they've not experienced a lot of snow in their life, if any. And maybe they're praying for it and we're praying against it. I think of Bart Garrett back there, you know, he kind of needs it to snow some to kind of keep the trucks moving and keep the payroll going, you know. I'm just praying the Lord just give him a few of those 2 and 3 inch snows, just enough to make it sloppy and enough to keep him, amen. But we think of insulation, we think of antifreeze, we think of alternate heat sources, we think of generators, we think of do we have the lamps ready, do we have light if the power goes off, do we have warmth, and do we have tires on the car, do we have food, do we have milk and bread? Eddie Ray Goddard, who's been in heaven for a few years now, used to tell the story. When he first went to Sewell Valley Baptist Church in Raynell, West Virginia, Eddie Ray said, before long, he said, they came to the Sunday before deer season came. And he said, he noticed across the crowd, he said, you know, the crowd was down. And they told him, you know, prior to that Sunday, he said, they said, Pastor, now don't get discouraged. He said, now some of the men probably won't be there Sunday, and you know, they're at the camps and they're up in the mountains and they're getting ready for deer season. Don't get discouraged. They do this every year. And that's back before you can hunt on Sunday. But anyway, I'm glad you didn't choose to hunt today. But anyway, so Eddie, you know, in Eddie Goddard fashion said, he said, these men love God more than that. They'll be here Sunday. They'll be here Sunday. And sure enough, man, he showed up, and there were empty pews beside wives everywhere. And he said, I got on the radio and I prayed, dear God, he said, I pray that all these men that skipped church on Sunday prior to opening day, prior to Thanksgiving, I pray that none of them will get a buck tomorrow, you know. And he said, almost to the man, he said, none of them got deer that year. So he was really rubbing it in. He said, I did the same thing next year. And he said, it was just the opposite. All the men that skipped church got their bugs, you know. So much for his praying power. But Eddie used to say, man, he said, I'd kid him, I'd say, Eddie, I said, you'd get more done for God if you'd quit all that golfing, wasting time out there on the golf course. And oh my, he'd go up and down. He said, yeah, you and swore sitting in those tree stands. And yeah. How many hours you've been deer hunting? But he used to, he'd fuss. He'd say, you know, you can't even go to the store on that weekend. He said, there's no milk and bread. There's not any milk and bread on the shelves anywhere. All these deer hunters buy up all the little Debbie cakes and the milk and bread. I thought about that milk and bread. You know, you think about snowstorms in West Virginia. I don't know what it is, but I mean, we got to have milk and bread, you know. It's going to snow, honey. Do we have milk and bread? You know. Well, no, but we've got all kinds of water, but we've got to have milk and bread, you know. And we have flour and cornmeal, but, you know, we got to have that Heiner's and Wonder Bread, you know. But we think about winter. You think about winter. And you think of cold and slippery places. I think of snow. I think of shivering. I think of slippery spots. I think of salt. I think of slop. I think of snot. I mean, I think of other things. I'm not going to say that word. Starts with S-N, ends with T. But anyway, you think of all that goes with winter time. But it really wasn't funny where Paul was writing here. He says, Timothy, the hour's short. Time is slipping away. Think if you were writing your last letter. And he says, do thy diligence. He said, in other words, come before winter. It's important that you come. And it's important you come soon. Because if you don't come soon, he said, I won't be here. Time, he said, is of the essence. And as Paul writes these words, I think, first of all, I think we notice it as Paul writes these words. Paul was lonely. Look in chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He missed Timothy. He was lonely. Look at verse 13. He said, the coat that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. He said in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. And he said, greet Eubulus and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. Paul was lonely as he was in that prison cell about to die for the gospel's sake. Not only was he lonely, but he was longing to see Timothy, as we read here, and he was looking for the Savior. He said in chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. He said, at that day. He was lonely. He was longing for fellowship, but he was looking for the Savior to come. The darker the hour. I mean, we ought not hang our heads today and say, well, it's a dark hour. There's nothing can be done for God. Listen, the darker the hour, the greater the light. And so Paul there, as we see there, the winter represented a coldness that was coming. He said in verse 13, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. There in this prison, it was no country club. It was a place of darkness, a place of rats, a place of refuse, a place of rejection. It was cold in that prison cell. The winter represented a coldness that was coming. And Paul mentions the cloak. The cloak. I don't know what kind of cloak that Paul had, but he didn't have many of them. He said, the coat that I left there, he said, can you bring it? I mean, for his physical well-being, he said, can you bring it? I asked Dad the other day, we were celebrating Veterans Day. Dad's a World War II veteran. And I said, Dad, do you have any of your clothes, any of your uniform left? He said, no, he couldn't recall. I remember as a boy, maybe some of his headwear, but he said, no, I don't think I do. He said, I wore that coat a lot when I came back from the war. And he said, the reason I wore my coat a lot isn't because, he said, I didn't have another coat. You think about that. He said, I didn't have another coat. I wore it because it's the only coat I had. Paul didn't have a lot of coats. He said, the cloak that I've left there, he said, will you bring with you? Then he mentions the books. He mentions his physical body, but he mentions the books. I'd like to have read in Paul's library. Then he mentions this. He mentions the parchments. He said, I want to take care of my body. I want to care for my soul. But he said, but especially the parchments for my spirit. Paul said, bring me copies of the book. Bring me the books that will encourage me, but bring me copies of the book, the Word of God. He said, come before winter. I need a coat. I need something to stir and keep my mind occupied, but I need something that will warm my heart. He said, bring the parchments. Bring the Word of God. Here was a man that was about to die. He wasn't petitioning any courts. He was petitioning heaven. And over and over again, you see in Philippians and other places in the prison epistles, Paul believed that through their prayers and the supply of the Spirit and the sustaining grace of God, he thought he may get out of prison. And he said, if I don't get out of prison, though, he said, I want to keep building up my soul and spirit. I read that and I just think, wow, what a man of God. He wanted to redeem the time. I mean, he wanted to redeem every moment, every hour that I have left. He said, I want to feed my soul. I'm going to keep growing in the grace of God. Oh, may that be so with all of us. He said, come before winter. Come, Timothy, before winter. So we read this, we're reminded that this world is designed by its very nature to cool us off in our walk with God. We have to guard against the cold, don't we? Have to guard against the cold. I mean, lethargy will set in, sleepiness will set in, comfortable surroundings can set in, and we don't put the gospel in storage when it's cold or when it's hard or when it's difficult or when the waters are muddied or when there are theological battles or government battles and encroachment, all of that. We don't put the gospel on hold and we don't put it in storage. We must continue to hold forth the word of life. This world's designed to cool us off, but God has a way to warm us up. Amen? He's got a way to warm us up. Remember a few years ago, Lester Bledsoe and I were out soul winning on a Thursday night, and it was snowing and blowing in January. It was a terrible night. It was awful. I thought, what in the world are we doing out here? And but we came into this home, and thank God for West Virginians. And you know, when it's real bad like that, you could stand on the porch and just kind of shiver and look pitiful, and people invite you in. I didn't have to fake it. I was shivering, and I was pitiful. And Lester was always cold-natured anyway. He was about to freeze. He said, preacher, let's go back. Wando have us something to eat, you know. Let's go home. But I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be more spiritual. I said, no, let's knock on one more door. We knock on the door, and this guy comes to the door. Come to find out, I knew him. Knew him from years past, but knew his family, didn't know him well. Introduced myself. He said, well, come on in. Man, I was so happy he invited us in. Man, they had a fire going in there. And he said, we just finished supper. And we got to talking and things like that. We got talking and shooting some deer and catching some fish and things like that, kind of going around the barn to get the gospel to him. And he said, you know, you might like, my wife just made some venison pie. And I thought, praise God. I like anything venison. And he said, we've got some slices left. He said, would you like to have some? And before he could even get the words out of his mouth, I said, yeah, oh yeah. And that was a long visit that night, man. I just ate that pie and gave that fellow the gospel. It was good, man, it was good. And made a lifelong friend. And that guy later got saved, by the way. I didn't lead him to the Lord, but he got saved and still happily serving the Lord. But I'm just saying all of this, you know, this world's designed to cool us off. These are cold days. And spiritually, Jeremiah said in chapter 20 and verse 9, his word was a fire, though, in my bones. Jeremiah got ready to quit. And he said, I couldn't quit because his word was a fire in here. I think of Luke 3:16. The Bible says you'll be baptized with fire one day. Hebrews 1:7, his ministers are described as ministers who have a flame, a fire in them. God can warm us up. Just being in church will warm you up spiritually. I mean, iron sharpens iron. And it helps heat us up. Iron sharpens iron, the fellowship of God's people, the preaching of God's word, the teaching of God's word, the testimonies of God's people, the Spirit of God, the songs of God, the things of God. That'll warm us up. How we need that. How we need that. Ultimately, it's God who must light our fire. No preacher can do that. No denomination can do that. No movement can do that. But God can. God can. When they were washed up on the Isle of Malta, Melita there, Paul and 275 other men who were in the Euroclodon and in that ship headed to Rome, and the ship broke up in the midst of the sea, and they came up on this island, and the Bible says the natives came and showed us no little kindness, and they kindled a fire there. They kindled a fire there. You know, God fed Elijah with a raven. God will use God used the barbarous heathen there to help Paul, and they gave them the gospel. I'm just saying, God can light a fire. The winter not only represented a coldness that was coming. We understand in America, there's a coldness coming. There's a coldness here. There's a coldness to the things of God. We're in a spiritual battle every day. But the winter also represents storms and a warning that the storms were on the way. You know, when we get up this morning and there's a frost on, a heavy frost, it's just a warning that there's more on the way. There's more on the way. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't you hate to live in Jacksonville, Florida? Down there and sea breezes and fresh seafood and, you know, golf 12 months out of the year and, you know, no changing of the season. I mean, wouldn't you hate that? I mean, say, well, I wouldn't mind trying, you know. Amen. I'm just picking at you, Mike. Do you know, you think about this, these days that we're living right now, they let us know winter's coming. And the battles of this life and the challenges of this life, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. We're living in those days. Paul was concerned for Timothy's safety and in travel to see him. And I think of the crisis and the storms that are on the way in America. In fact, they've broken over us. I think of the financial storms the crisis that America is in financially. It's an amazing thing. Someone said when your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. And America is drowning in debt. Our government is drowning in debt. And we're suffering because of that. I mean, we're facing a crisis down the road. We're in a crisis right now. I mean, a financial, the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. We're drowning in debt. I think not only of financial storms, but spiritual storms that we're in. Spiritual storms. We're losing a generation if we don't reach these young people the gospel. We're going to have a disconnect in America spiritually, and it's going to affect every part of our nation. If we don't teach our children about God, if we don't teach our children about the Son of God and the Word of God and the things of God and how to walk with God, and if we don't teach them, and if they don't get that connected, get Christ connected to their heart, we're going to lose an entire generation if Jesus tarries. The storms are coming. The storms are coming. Everyone doesn't mind talking of a higher power, but when you begin to speak of Jesus in our land, people get nervous. I said in Sunday school, I was shocked, you know. I shouldn't be shocked, but our new House Speaker, Mike Johnson, he announced the other day, he said, if you want to know what I believe, he said, just go to the shelf, pick up your Bible and read it. That's exactly what I believe in. I'll tell you what, people about fell out of their chairs. I mean, what new thing is this? And in fact, I texted to somebody. I said, where's this guy been? Where's he been? You know? He said, I ask God to lead me every day. And all the liberals, oh, my soul, we've got someone in Congress that's praying and reading their Bible. They must be crazy. Well, how are we doing with their direction? Churches closing doors and scaling back and selling their buses and doing away with their mission program and stopping their evangelism and disguising their churches to look like malls and taking off their Baptist name and no hymnals, no preaching, no invitation. Storms are coming. Not only spiritually and financially. And what bothers me financially is that these young people are going to bear the brunt of the debt that we're incurring right now. Their children, if Jesus tarries. But I think thirdly, another storm is our moral storms. I mean, when a candidate for the U.S. Supreme Court cannot define what a woman is, we are morally bankrupt. when in the halls of Congress in a public meeting, people are debating whether men could have a baby or not. I mean, God help us morally. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God made man in His image. And out of His rib He made Eve and brought her unto the man. And it says, male and female created He them. That's God's design. Morally, we're bankrupted. Morally, we're in the midst of a storm. But also the winter represented uncertainty. Uncertainty. People show those woolly worms. Oh, it's going to be a bad winter. Look at that. Look at that black band around that woolly worm. Yeah. Well, we better keep it. We might have to eat him, you know, later. It'll be a bad winter. There's always uncertainty. Every year about this time, I mean, you can go down to the hardware, go down to the restaurant. Oh, it's going to be a bad, people say it's going to be a bad winter. I can tell. I can tell by my joints. My joints hurt. My joints hurt in July, you know. It doesn't snow in July, but they say, it's going to be a bad winter. Better put up some stuff. Amen. Try to help out with that tomorrow morning. Amen. Uncertainty. Paul realized his time was short and they were sharpening the executioner's axe as he wrote these words. He looked forward to winter, though, with great anticipation. Look in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy in verse 6. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that. He said, I'm folding my tent. I'm moving up in the morning. He said, not only am I folding my tent, he said, I'm pushing away. I'm pushing away from the dock. I'm setting sail. He said, I'm excited about going to heaven. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And he said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love His appearing. Paul was excited with great anticipation. He knew what was about to happen. He said, I'm going. I fought my fight. I finished my course. There'll come a day all of us will come to that point. We don't know when that'll be. I mean, if Jesus tarries, we all have an appointment with death. We hold death. We push death as far away as we can. He is the unwelcome guest in our lives. But He's coming. There was preparation that was necessary. What were Paul's concerns with winter on the way? Let me give you five concerns that ought to be our concerns too. First of all, he was concerned about the parchments. Look in verse 13 of chapter 4. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. That's why he said in chapter 3, and verse 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He was concerned with the Word of God. With the storm coming, and it's about to break over us. I think of hurricanes, tornadoes, snowstorms. But he says, come before winter. Come before winter. Come before winter. He said, let me feed on the Word of God. Let me warm my heart with the Word of God. With Jesus, in fact, He could come at any moment. We know that. We're not to set days but we can see the seasons. As we see these seasons and we see the storm coming, let's be more into the Word of God than ever. Let's know what the Bible says. Let's have an answer for every man that asks us of the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. Not only the parchments, but notice he was concerned with their prayers. He said in verse 16, he said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." He said this, "I pray God that may not be laid to their charge." Paul's concerns were not only with the Word of God, the parchments, but with the prayers. Paul was spending time praying. Not bitter, but better. Number three, not only was he praying that God would help him, but he was praying for his enemies. The Bible says in verse 10, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He prayed for Demas. Demas was a forsaker. He prayed for John Mark, who was a follower. He said, verse 11, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable unto me for the ministry." He mentioned not only Demas and John Mark, but he mentioned Alexander, verse 14, the fighter. There was a follower in that group. There was a forsaker in that group, but then there was a fighter. Look at verse 14. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works." Paul's getting ready to die. He said, "I don't have time to hold a grudge. Alexander did me much evil. He tore the church all to pieces. The Lord reward him." He said, "I don't have time to worry about Alexander." He was the fighter. But notice, there was a faithful one. He said in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." There was the faithful. "Only Luke is with me." Says much about Luke, doesn't it? Says a lot about Demas and Alexander and John Mark and all the others. He concerned himself with praying. He concerned himself with the Word of God. He concerned himself, number three, with the preaching. He said in verse 17, "Notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known." He was concerned with preaching. He wrote to Thessalonians, he said, "All this that's happened has happened to me. We call it for the furtherance of the gospel." The furtherance. He's concerned with preaching. Man, listen. In these last days, let's get all the Bible we can. In here and in here. Let's teach it to our children. Let's get all the praying we can get in. Let's get all the preaching we can get in. Then number four, he was concerned with protection. He said in verse 18, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." He was concerned with protection. He said, "Look, that's all in the Lord's hands. That's all in God's hands. He'll take care of me." He had peace in the midst of the storm. And then finally, Paul said, "I'm concerned with people. I'm concerned with people." Don't push people away when the storms come. Don't push the parchments away. Don't push prayer away. Don't push the preaching away. Don't push the protecting hand of God away. When the storms come, don't push the people that love you away. Notice all the people he mentions. Verse 19, Priscilla, Aquila, Onesiphorus, Erastus, Trophimus, Pudens, Eubulus, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. You know what he was concerned with? I think Paul was thinking, I wonder if they're ready for winter. Wonder if they're ready. Winter's coming. The storms are coming. He says, Timothy, come before winter. He said, I'm concerned for all of these things, but he said, I'm concerned for my brethren. Concerned for my brethren. Are they ready for winter? Let me ask you, are you ready for winter? The storm's coming. I'm not talking about antifreeze and all the things we kid and joke about, but are you ready for the storm? Are you ready to cross over that Jordan? Are you ready to face God one day? Are you ready? If you died today and your heart stopped right now, if you died today, would you go to heaven? That's what Paul was concerned with. He was concerned about people. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Are we concerned about people? What about our family? Is our family in? Is our family ready for the storm? Are our children ready for the storm? Are our parents ready for the storm? And it's surely coming. The winter represented uncertainty. But in the midst of the uncertainty, Paul said, man, I'm down here. I'm here with the rats. I'm here with all the stink. I'm here with the darkness and the dampness, the cold. But he said, if I just get me a coat and the Word of God, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, what about the people? Let me ask you today. The storm's blowing in. It's blowing in. But here's the thing. You and I are preserved from that great storm of the tribulation. We'll be snatched out of here. We'll be raptured out. And we'll go out before the storms of the tribulation come. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be other problems that we'll face. I want you to know God's in the midst of the storm. Jesus came walking on the water that everyone was so scared of. He caused the winds to cease and lie down, the waves to calm. And he said, peace, be still. He can do that for you today.